What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Sucks. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
I think they're maybe the best team in football, but when they've beaten themselves, they've beaten themselves. And I thought yesterday was, unfortunately, another example of that for the Ravens. I think when you look at it, the Ravens aren't saying, well, we got beat by Buffalo. They really outplayed us. I think they're saying we had some easy opportunities and we just screwed them up, and that's heartbreaking.
I look forward to how far can we go, you know, and how far can I go? And everybody does that. That's why this is such a sobering day. It's a tough football team, man. You accomplish great things.
I don't want to let it linger, but I just know how these type of games be. That's why I kept saying, like, I'm mad, bro.
Lamar Jackson, that was on Hard Knocks, which I believe debuts tonight or last night. Nolan, I got to be honest with you, I haven't watched one episode. Tomorrow night.
Last night.
Talking about the frustration of the loss to the Bills, which he expressed during his post-game press conference. A lot of profanity. And I don't blame him. I mean, we use profanity. I mean, you want to shelter your kids from it? It's still FCC violation worthy. But it's language we use, especially in frustration. And Lamar Jackson, like everyone else on that Ravens team, and in that locker room and in the organization, frustrated because they're so close, but yet so far away. The Super Bowl, so elusive to them. Last year, AFC Championship game at home, favored. Couldn't get the offense going. Defense played lights out. This year, favored. On the road against the team, higher seed, who was undefeated at home. Couldn't get it done. Turn the ball over. Mistakes. Not a ton of penalties. Not going to drill the refs, except for that pass interference on Tre'Davious White, which was bad, terrible, under any circumstance. Even Gene Steratore, during the broadcast, said it was a bad call. Tony Romo and his Skechers that weigh 50,000 pounds, he agreed with it. But self-inflicted. And we heard John Harbaugh, the message to the team. They didn't want to hear attaboys, I'm guessing. They know how good they are. They know what they're capable of, championships. And they just keep falling short. Different year, same result. Right? So I get it. Think about it. As fans, how do you feel? All right, maybe you've calmed down 72 hours after the fact. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's on his way out to one winning drive as John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta going to meet with the media. He'll be back probably around 12:30. But as fans, let's talk as fans. And yes, I'm biased. I like the Orioles, Terps, Ravens, and everything else kind of along for the ride. I like what I like, and I'm not apologizing. Born and raised in Baltimore. Now 60 years old. Still got a full head of hair. I got that going for it. Got no teeth. Kind of lean to the left a little bit, but it is what it is. But as a fan, you're pissed. You're yelling. We're using profanity at the television. And Nolan, quite frankly, in the almost 4 years you worked with us, I don't really remember you cussing as much. I mean, off the air, Nolan will tell you, my wife will tell you, anybody that knows me, every other word is something that I'd get fined for here on the radio. Got to keep it clean. I was yelling at TVs, and my wife, who doesn't use a lot of profanity, unless she's yelling at me, she was using profanity. Really upset with Tony Romo, by the way. We'll get to that. So you're watching the game as a fan. How you feeling?
I mean, you're enraged in the moment because you're fired up. You're living and dying with every play. It's playoffs, just like playoff baseball. It's like every pitch, you're on the edge of your seat. So for the highs, yeah, you're going crazy. You're celebrating. Naturally, when the lows come, there's an emotional release there as well. I think I might be a little bit different than some of the fans we hear from. I'm not, you know, 2 days later, 3 days later, and moved on. You know, maybe it's the line of work. Maybe it's that we just, I don't know, we hear from the fans.
Well, reality sets in.
Yeah. Terrible. You know, well, and to be honest, I mean, you build an NFL team to give yourself the best chance to win every year. The Ravens have constructed a team where they're going to be in the playoffs every year. There's a lot of teams out there that can't even accomplish that. And maybe once every decade they find themselves in the playoffs, and it's as a 7-seed wild card, you got no shot.
Sure.
So for the Ravens moving ahead, I mean, nobody wants to hear this right now because we all think they should still be playing and gearing up for Kansas City. But this offseason won't be like last year. You know, last year was very stressful. We talked about this yesterday. You had a lot of contracts to navigate. You lost a lot of key coaches. This year looks like you're going to keep your coaching staff. Your biggest free agent you might lose out on is Ronnie Stanley. Not saying that that's, you know, just a brush it to the side, we'll move on. You're going to have to replace him if you lose him. But behind him, you're not in danger of losing anybody key here. I mean, if anything, this could be the offseason where they say, hey, let's start talking to Kyle Hamilton and the center, Linderbaum.
Absolutely.
Try to get a long-term deal worked out with them while we don't have, like, say, a Nnamdi Matabike to worry about on an expiring deal. You know, they're set up where they know they can go into next year. We're going to be right back there in January, same spot, with a chance to finally get over the hump.
Yeah, they'll be one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl next year. But I guess going back to my point was going to be, is you were frustrated, I was frustrated. Mark Andrews apparently was getting death threats. Bill's Mafia steps up and donates over $50,000 to his charities. Imagine how they feel. Think about that. They're human. They have feelings. Everybody in Highmark Stadium affiliated with the Ravens felt worse than you ever will about what happened Sunday night.
And I think that's proven in Andrews not speaking with the media.
Right.
I think, you know, we hear yesterday that all the people that say he's the hardest worker on the team, you know, from a fan's perspective,
yeah,
that's easy
Preston
to pick
wrote
up
it, yeah, in the Baltimore Sun. I mean, in practice, during games, look how he busted his ass to rehab. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not making excuses for him sucking on Sunday. He did. I mean, we all watched the game. But to dismiss him and death threaten him, and Nolan, I cannot wrap my head around that line of thinking and that sort of logic. And I get fights at stadiums because you're drinking and the opposing fans and et cetera, trash talk escalates. But, you know, sending death threats via social media or trying to, it's like, really? What else you have going on in your life?
Well, I mean, that's,
that you want that to happen.
It's a reminder that this is real life. I mean, these are real players. They're not robots. They're not video game characters that are just here for our amusement. They're real people. And like you said, Bob, what makes it so tough is that Andrews is the franchise leader in touchdowns. You know, and he pulled a Lee Evans. But let's be honest. Lee Evans, it was easy to beat up on him. He was here for what, 2 years, 1 year?
Not even.
Did nothing but be the one of the reasons they lost in one of the biggest games in franchise history. It was easy to punch him while he was down and then say, all right, see ya, hit the road. Andrews is a little more complex. He's been through the highs and lows. He's one of the best players in franchise history.
Sure. And he's had poor playoff performances, which we can get into whether or not, you know, he can't rise to the occasion. We always hear about playoff Lamar versus regular season Lamar. I think Andrews has fallen into that category. But, you know, Lee Evans was here, disappeared into the abyss, and I'm sure he's a nice guy and a fine American and was a pretty good player when he played for Buffalo. Billy Cundiff, who missed the kick right after that, never kicked a ball for the Ravens again. Lost out to Justin Tucker the next year in training camp. Last year they were in Westminster and turned out to be a brilliant stroke of genius for Baltimore, obviously. But, you know, that guy was an all-pro the year before for Baltimore. Helped them win a lot of games. Now Andrews, no matter what he does, like Bill Buckner, all-star, really good player. Boots ground ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hated for years in Boston. Never mind the fact that there was still another game. Never mind the fact that they had blown a two-run lead leading into the Mookie Betts ground ball with two outs. It was two outs, nobody on, and the bullpen blew it. But Buckner's the GOAT. And by the way, game seven, I think the Red Sox were winning 3-0 and blew that game. Chris Rock, at no fault of his own, I don't think of him in Saturday Night Live or the great stand-up, one of the great stand-up. I think of him, Chris Rock. Will Smith slapped him at the Academy, which I didn't even watch. I don't watch Academy Awards. I don't give a bleep about any people. But your perception changes. Now Mark Andrews, you know, self-inflicted damage. First thing, hey, he dropped that two-point conversion against Bills. That'll be his legacy until he changes it. It is what it is. Fair or unfair?
Yeah, like a Buckner example. Had he come back the next night, hit the walk-off homer, all right.
No harm,
no foul.
Water
under the bridge. And not even that, you're a hero. You know, we'll celebrate you. So, I mean, Andrews has 1 year left on his contract with the Ravens. We don't know what their plans are for him long-term, or Isaiah Likely, for that matter. Also expires after next season, his contract. So they have decisions to make at tight end. I don't know how much Sunday's loss and Andrews' role in it impacts his immediate future with the team. Again, I would put more weight into the franchise leader in touchdowns, everything he's done over the last 6-7 years compared to one bad game. But in the moment, I get it. He was the biggest reason that they lost. Yeah, not the only reason, but the biggest.
I'm not denying that at all. And let's not forget, he had a hell of a year. Slow start to the season, coming back from that ankle injury, but he's a guy to finish with 11 touchdowns this season. So Mark Andrews, public enemy number one, but death threats, come on, man. And ladies, sports. You wake up the next morning, you still have to pay your bills. Mark Andrews could have caught 40 passes for 5 million yards, and the Ravens could win 17 Super Bowls in a row. Makes you feel good as a fan because it takes you away from the realities of life, like paying your freaking bills. But Mark Andrews feels worse than anyone. But getting long-winded way, Nolan, to get back to the point, yeah, he probably should have talked to the media.
And I think Hilbert,
we know he feels like crap, but we want to hear him say that he feels like crap, right?
Sure.
Makes us feel good about ourselves.
I'm not going to put words in his mouth or speak for him, but I'd imagine a couple weeks go by, the dust settles, have a chance to, you know, clear your head. He'll probably sit there and say, probably should have said something, especially the next day. In the moment, right after the loss, it's so fresh. I get that. But the next day, the whole team's there anyway.
Yeah.
You clean out your locker. I don't know. Just to be kind of missing in action that day, nowhere to be found in the building. I don't know.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's going out to one winning drive. Me and Nolan are here for you. However, on this Woman Crush Wednesday, we'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. You have had a couple of days to process what happened to Ravens. Season ends. Now you look ahead to the offseason. As Nolan said, they're going to be one of the better teams of football. As we know, they've been one of the best teams of football. The record speaks for itself since 2018, but now it's about getting over humps and getting the Super Bowls. So how does that happen? I still think that Lamar Jackson's going to win a Super Bowl, maybe two, before his career is over. And yes, it's going to happen in Baltimore. Am I disappointed it hasn't happened yet? Sure. So is he, more than I am. We'll get into all of that and more here on The Fan with John Harbaugh, head coach, Eric DaCosta, general manager, and the assembled masses will meet at 11 o'clock. Get some intel from the team, as we've talked about. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, who's going to be at one winning drive. Ed Nolan McGraw. Roster still stacked. Still the most talented team, certainly in the division. Cincinnati gets that defense up to snuff, then certainly going to be formidable. Because they gave the Ravens the blues this year, even though the Ravens managed to win both games. Pittsburgh quarterback issues. The Browns are the Browns. So still looking to be one of the better teams next year. Bottom line is next year, because there's only four left this year. Well, this season. And Ravens ain't one of them. Man, it's frustrating. And we've discussed. So we'll get into all of that. Women Crush Wednesday. That was, let me see, Sister Sledge?
Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson. Try to guess by the guitar riff. I thought it was like, he's my private dancer, or whatever it is. Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll talk about this with Matt Weirich from the Baltimore Sun, top of the hour. Ichiro, CeCe Sabathia, Billy Wagner get in. Ichiro missed unanimous vote by one. I'd like to know who the person was who didn't vote for him. I've got major problems with the voting process. And certainly I know guys and ladies who vote for the Hall of Fame. What's the criteria? The only person, which makes me insane, to ever get voted in unanimously in baseball is a relief pitcher. Mariano Rivera, great. Arguably the greatest of all time. But he's the only player ever. No Willie Mays, no Hank Aaron, no Frank Robinson, no Mickey Mantle. Get it? Name a player. It blows my mind. Whatever dopey theory they go by, or if Babe Ruth 100%, how's this guy? Doesn't matter. And then you have Billy Wagner gets in. Well, you're not a Hall of Famer this year. But let me think about it for 10 years. Ah, you're cool now compared to these other scrubs that are up on the ballot. Oh, it's so stupid. But Ichiro's in. The guy didn't even debut in the majors until he was 28. And he got over 3,000 hits. Joined Fred Lynn as the only player to get Rookie of the Year MVP in the same season. Brilliant player. Nobody's denying that. And if you count his hits in Japan, he has more than Pete Rose, who's not in the Hall of Fame. But I don't want to get off on a tangent here. All right, let's get out to the phones. Whatever you want to vent about, let's vent. Video at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Only going to have to help me out because I don't have my phone thing rocked. Where are we going first?
All right, we start with Mike and Cherry Hill.
Let's go to Mike and Cherry Hill. Mike, what's happening?
Good morning.
How you doing, man?
First of all, a comment real quick. One of you all made a statement yesterday about Gunnar Henderson winning the Golden Glove.
Me.
Eventually.
I said
it ain't going to happen.
Okay.
Okay, we'll move on from that.
No. You want to make a wager on that, Mike?
We'll do it offline. We'll do it offline. It has to do with you wearing high heel shoes, on the job for a week. But anyway, the Ravens real quick.
Can't even wear regular. All right, go ahead.
The Ravens real quick. The Ravens have adopted their head coach mentality. And he don't really have one. The referees pick on the Ravens. John Harbaugh don't do anything about it. And they continually allow Lamar to do what he wants to do. But Lamar still is not there yet. Lamar still have to be managed to a certain extent. And regarding the team that they have right now, is fantastic. They need to keep Likely and Andrews at tight end. The problem is that they should have given the ball to Derrick Henry more. Wow. And every time that it comes to a situation where it's a big game like this, Lamar wants to be the man in it. And it's just not happening. It's not happening. And he has enough talent on his team that he don't have to do everything himself. And until they can have him a coach that's going to make him do that, we're going to always have the same thing. They need to get rid of Harbaugh. Harbaugh need to go.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike, who does not think Gunnar Henderson's going to win a Most Valuable Player award or win a Gold Glove. I think he's going to do both, hopefully, before it's all said and done. And Lamar tries to do too much. He does a lot. Harbaugh needs to go, which isn't happening. I mean, you can express that opinion until you're purple in the face. He's not going anywhere. If anything, he's probably getting a contract extension. But Derrick Henry should have run more. Absolutely, especially when they had first and goal on the one. Then Buffalo stoned him. Then they tried to get creative. They lost yardage. And, yeah, probably should have run him there. And maybe in the first two-point conversion where Milano made the play. But, again, I understand your frustrations. And I don't think I can fit my big foot into any sort of high heels anytime soon. But when's the bet going to happen? Does he have to do it this year, 20 years from now? Hopefully I'm going to be living on an exotic island within the next 12 months. Let's go to Rob at Bel Air. Rob, what's happening?
Hey, Bob. There's a famous line from a song that tells you exactly how the Ravens season ends. It's called "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend," because it seems to happen all the time, doesn't it?
Oh, that little Simon and Garfunkel we're going
Yeah. And unfortunately, we've got used to it. There was a question asked, was this season successful? I'm going to say no, because you seem to always have a good you've had a good regular season, and you win the AFC North, yay. But when it comes to winning a second playoff game, it's those self-inflicted wounds. And I'm going to start by saying Harbaugh had nothing to do with Lamar's fumble. Harbaugh had nothing to do with Mark Andrews' fumble and the two-point drop, okay? I mean, if they all make these plays and whatever, this is a different tune. But unfortunately, the Ravens have lost in the most horrific ways in the playoffs. I know we've got the Cundiff. We've got Huntley trying to dive over that, you know.
Yeah.
We've had Zay Flowers. Now we've had this. Peter Schrader did a story about the worst, and now Mark Andrews is considered one of the worst things in NFL playoff history, you know, with Ernest Biner and Anderson missing the...
Oh, Scott Norwood.
Yeah.
Wide right.
Wide right. I mean, the problem is they're not getting blown out. That's the issue. The problem is they can't finish a game in playoffs. And unfortunately, as Raven fans, we start to go, okay, they have a great regular season, but when's it going to drop? When is everything going to happen? When are they going to ever win a second playoff game? That's why they got to get home field advantage. Unfortunately,
They lose to the Browns and the Raiders and all of these other slappies at some point during a regular season. They make Gardner Minshew look like Joe Montana when they play against him.
It's weird. Like you said, it's weird. It's just when they get in the playoffs and they play that second game, something goofy happens. I mean, Von Miller running the ball. I mean, it would have been if Von Miller would have fell on the ball right there, we'd have been like, oh, it still stinks, but... What they had to go 10 yards?
If that was Von Miller from 5 years ago, he's running it in for a touchdown. So you look at it that way, too.
I'll leave you with this because I know you got more callers. The thing is, as Raven fans, this is depressing because the window is closing, Bob. I know they've got a lot. I know they've got a lot of players, certain players coming back. But it's hard to sustain this year after year and then get to this point and then get let down. I don't know. I don't know how to feel. That's just my opinion.
All right, Rob. Well, it sounds like you feel frustrated. I'll go ahead and go rubber or leather couch on you there. But window's wide open as long as Lamar's healthy and on your team. And you still have Roquan Smith and Nnamdi Matabike and Kyle Hamilton. I mean, Zay Flowers only 2 years in the league. Isaiah Likely becoming an all-pro level guy. Mark Andrews has been. I mean, Tucker, is he in his prime? Nah, but, you know, he redeemed himself kind of since the bye. I mean, there's still plenty to like about what the Ravens bring to the equation. They have 11 draft picks, including number 27 overall. But, yeah, I feel the pain. And we talked about this yesterday. If you're listening, Rob, and everyone on the phones right now, 410-583-1057, you want to get in. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Vinny's out at One Winning Drive. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or drive, or artist or band. The Dodgers had all those seasons of winning these games and just dominating, and they had won the division title 50,000 times in a row. The Braves in the 90s. It's to the point now with the Ravens where it's like, all right, you can win the division every year. You can go 17-0, have 15 Pro Bowlers. Till you get over the hump, which the Braves eventually did, and the Dodgers have now done twice, none of that's going to matter now. You still have to get to the playoffs to win the Super Bowl. Duh. But the Ravens have proven they can do that, maybe even win a game. Can they stack postseason wins? That's the problem. And I don't know if I have the answer. I think they're capable. So do they. And that's the bottom line.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of the fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or band, Bob Haney. Nolan McGraw, Vinny's at one winning drive with the Ravens. We're saying goodbye. Season is over. Who are we jamming to, Nolan? Chosen by the people.
Mariah Carey.
I know the song. Mariah Carey. Good thing, girl. And she was flat chested, if I'm not mistaken. Not here to make judgments. See, this is before you were born. Nolan McGraw, keep forgetting you're a young guy. You're a youngin', born in the mid-90s over there when Bill Clinton was doing his thing in White House. We digress. Drinking game, as somebody said to us a couple weeks ago now, Green Valley Ranch. Ravens season is over. Pitchers and catchers for the Orioles, less than a month. Terps in Champaign tomorrow, taking on Illinois, looking for that quad one win that has been elusive to them. As Ohio State did beat Purdue last night, which helps, I guess. Maryland at the Fighting Illini, and then Indiana on Sunday. Both games you can hear. 105.7 The Fan. Anything else you want to get into, let's do it. Enough of me. Let's get some of you. Let's go to, as the people want to vent about the Baltimore Ravens season coming to an end. Shiloh, West Baltimore. Shiloh, what's up?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Bob. I'm a little upset, man, but I know I can't get everything out, but I'll say this, right? As a fan, Bob, and the crew, like, I'll say this, right? You know, you get tired of the next season, oh, we're going to go back and get the next season, right? Because the last time I checked, we didn't win the Super Bowl. It's been about 12 years now, right? Since Lamar been here, we've been relevant, but at the end of the day, what I don't understand is why every time, and like the guy said, it'll be like the second round of the playoffs, right? You get past the first round. For some reason, in games like Sunday, we forget everything that matters or everything that's, for instance, Bob, so you bring in the number one rushing running back, right? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, every time he ran a good play or whatever he did, I look up here on the sideline. I don't know why he was taking him out. But at the end of the day, can I ask y'all a question real fast?
Yeah, go ahead.
So last time I checked, right, I think we was like number two stop rush defense, right?
Number one rush defense,
right,
I think.
That's even worse, Bob. But check this out real fast, right, before you let me go. Buffalo scored, if I'm not mistaken, all on the ground, right? And I don't understand, man, because it just seemed like, you know, it's always, oh, next year, next year, next year. Let me just say this, right? When you got some of the best talent on your team, and you do this over and over, it's called underachievement. And it's like, it starts from the top, Bob, because at the end of the day, McDermott was a defense coach, I think, and he's a head coach, right? He had them guys ready, right? They was playing physical. They didn't make too many mistakes. Maybe they didn't make none. And they made three turnovers. They got turnovers against us. We didn't do anything. We didn't put no pressure on. I don't understand. Where did the game plan go right? Yeah, we lost by two. But granted, if we would have did what we supposed to do and play our game, I'm not saying we was going to blow them out, but we would have won the game for some reason. Why does a good – hey, Bob, answer this question real quick.
Yeah.
Why does a talent – so much of a talented team, right? Right, roster from top to bottom, right? Not every position, but majority position. Why every time you get in these positions, you always do this, man. And I say this, right? When Philly kept going to the Super Bowl and they was losing, they moved Andy Reid. Andy Reid went down to Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
But guess what? Philly done been back to the Super Bowl twice in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
We ain't been back in 12 years, man. And it's time for a change.
All right, Chalo, I hear you. You're venting, and I got it. But Buffalo ran the ball very successfully in the first half. And it wasn't James Cook. It was Davies and Ty Johnson getting a big chunk plays. Josh Allen just was kind of, I'm not saying he had no role in the win, because the Ravens marched and scored on the first drive. Then he got that big third down conversion where they went in and eventually scored. But he didn't turn the ball over. He was just kind of there. He was doper. He was game managing. I'm expecting. I mean, he did rush for two TDs. I'm not trying to dismiss that. But it's not like he broke up a 50-yard. He was a 250-pound quarterback. I'm going to go ahead and assume that his playmaking will be much more significant against the Chiefs on Sunday night.
Well, if they're going to win, it has to be.
Sure.
I mean, you can't be passive when you're going into Arrowhead there. A team that, again, just like the Ravens, they can't get over that hump. Beat them in the regular season, and that gives you something. There's some blueprint there, but they've never been able to replicate that when it matters most. And it's more often than not, when they lose to the Chiefs in the playoffs, it's even more soul-crushing. I mean, I can't think of a loss in recent NFL history that's as soul-crushing as that overtime defeat a few years back.
Oh, the divisional round? Where they scored with 12 seconds left to take the lead and wound up losing in overtime?
And
that one?
Under old rules, playoff rules at the time, Josh Allen didn't get a chance to respond. The Chiefs won the toss, scored, that's it.
Well, I'll throw this out since everybody brought it up. Ravens and Bills have played twice in the playoffs. Josh Allen 2-0 against Lamar. It is what it is. And Nolan mentioned it earlier, lost a lot last year, including defensive coordinator, a bunch of position coaches who went up to bigger and better things. Doesn't seem as though that could be a reality. A couple of free agents of importance out there, and can't get into it too much, but they got a lot to say, and we're going to hear it later on in the show. Pitchers and catchers, less than a month. Matt Weirich from the Baltimore Sun will be joining us top of the hour. Speaking of the Orioles, Tony Taters was wearing his new Blue Jays uniform yesterday. Before we get back to the Ravens talk, Ed and Arbutus wants to talk about the original Birds of Baltimore. Ed, what's happening?
Bob, Nolan, good morning to you, gentlemen.
How you feeling, Ed?
I'm good, good, Bob. Thank you, sir. Orioles clarity call today. First thing, which is now a moot point. Last year's slugger, 155 games played, 71 extra base hits, 44 home runs, 25 doubles, 2 triples, 91 runs scored, 102 RBIs. A hitter of that prowess doesn't grow on trees, and it's not conjecture, but he was viewed as a one-trick pony. I can't see how the bat will be missed, but it will not be missed. Spring training now on the horizon. Hopefully a redirect priority is in the immediate plans to ascertain the number one front-end pitcher. The value of a bona fide ace is immeasurable. They stop losing streaks, and if slated game one of a 3-game series, there's a high probability they'll win that game, split the next two, the series is won. That's the whole gist in MLB. How many winning series can you stack out of 162? Personal preference, would like to hear Dylan Cease in a trade. See it as a seamless assumption. Last thing, in regard to each baseball player's tools, hit, catch, throw, run, hip, or power, the Orioles only have one 5-tool player, and that's Gunnar Henderson. However, they're loaded with a bunch of fours. Land the ace, play everyday reliable defense, timely hit, this team can still be postseason worthy. Got to get the ace. Thank you, Bob, for your courtesy. That's it.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call. The Dylan Cease talk's kind of quieted lately. Remember, they traded for Corbin Burns February 1st last year. And for the record, I got no problem bringing in Dylan Cease, who the Orioles danced with trade deadline 2023. The only problem, Nolan, that they would have to encounter, he's in the walk year of his deal. So you're basically... And Dylan Cease isn't as good as Corbin Burns. He's good. Probably would be the best pitcher on the Orioles. If Grayson Rodriguez could ever stay healthy for an entire season, we shall see. But are you willing to sacrifice for Cease, knowing that there's a real possibility he could be hitting the road, him and his mustache, after 2025?
I'm still not even buying that they're actively trying to find a suitor right before the season, because they're a competitive team. And yeah, he's on an expiring contract, and I would say see how the season plays out. I mean, the Padres are weird. They've had years where they're projected to be a World Series favorite, and they just play
2 years ago
mediocre
with Soto, they bought him now
500 ball. So if their season's going in the tank, they can still get good value for him, maybe even more, at the in-season deadline.
Yeah, and it's still the Luis Castillo, and we'll talk to Matt Weirich top of the hour, where that is everything set position player-wise? I think they're kind of done. I don't think they're adding. I think it is what it is, and just hoping that players stay healthy, like in every other sport. Let's go to Ken in Owings Mills. It's Vinny and Haney. Vinny's in Owings Mills. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Ken, what's happening? Woman Crush Wednesday.
Hey, Bob. What's happening, man? Hey, good try on trying to call out Janet Jackson the first time.
Yeah, I just heard the guitar riff, and yeah, I condiffed that one. Oh, no, I Andrews did. Too soon? Too soon?
Too soon. Too soon, man. Too soon. Just have Nolan pitch him up for you. Just have Nolan throw him up there for you. First off, man, look, let's get all the ridiculousness of Death Thruster to Andrews out. Come on, man. He's been too much to this team, too much to us. And I definitely say that one of the callers said that the team is looking up to the coaches. No, I think the team is looking up to their leader, Lamar. And they hear the noise. Lamar has to put on a cape. Lamar has to be Superman. And that's what the team is trying to do instead of calming down. Andrews, you're tight end. Tuck that ball in both hands. Drive north to south. Not make a lateral move. Flowers, last year, you're $150. You made a beautiful catch on the 2-yard line. Don't try to dive through two people to make the touchdown. And most of the call and most of the plays, the drop plays, they're looking upfield. They're trying to be like Lamar. Even with Lamar, bad snap, fall on the ball.
Right.
Don't try to do too much. But the team is just trying to be like him. They're trying to say, hey, I'm not a hero too, but I'm trying to help my man Lamar. And that's what's happening.
And he had a really, and you watched the game, obviously, Ken. He had a bad first half based on his standards, but he played his ass off in the second half. They marched down the field on that last drive before Andrews dropped the 2-point conversion, by the way, aided by a Mark Andrews catch. He had them marching down that field with ease against that Buffalo defense. So shaky in the first half, sure, but he was outstanding in the second half. But
second half,
I guess you got to be great for 60 minutes to satisfy people.
And see, people need to calm down off of that. And maybe next year we'll have a pissed off Lamar, and then the team will be that way, and they'll move forward, and they'll exercise all the demons.
All right, Ken. Thanks for the call, man. And look, and if Lamar's post game rant on Sunday night was any indication, he is going to be a pissed off Lamar Jackson. Let's go to Centerville. It's Steve. Steve, you're on the Fan with Bob Haney and Nolan McGraw. What is happening?
Morning, boys. Hey, I think I'm somewhere between your last caller and Shiloh. I don't understand why the Ravens, and this is my opinion, get to the playoffs and they start over-engineering things. You know, you're down receivers. You don't have your best receivers. You've been the running machine whenever you decide you want to do it. And it goes back to coaching. Okay, let's force them to stop the things we do well, and then we'll go from there. And then your last caller made a big point. Drop the ball, you jump on the ball. It's the playoffs. I know coaches, I've played, I've coached. You get that your people are a little more wound up. You get back to basics, and I'll leave all the wet morning show because I'm sure they had a field day with them. But we over-engineer. We don't play to our strengths, and we try to get too cute. So I appreciate you letting me vent, and me and Shiloh will become the assistant general managers.
Get a left tackle because you might need one, depending on Ronnie Stanley in the offseason. Hey, you can vent. Just keep it clean. Keep it respectful, and you can yell and scream all you want. You can yell at me if you want. I mean, I'm used to that. But just keep it clean, and you know, we're good. And I understand your frustration, but let me stress again, and I think you already know it, I'm not trying to speak down to the audience by any stretch. They feel worse than you do. Let that sink it. Now, they make more money than we do, which is another thing that might, but they feel worse than you do, and nobody feels worse than Mark Andrews. We'll switch gears, talk some Orioles. Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun. We're less than a month away for pitchers and catchers. Orioles are still expected to be one of the best teams in the American League. Looking at the roster now, is that a justified optimism?